Everyone, welcome back or welcome to the first episode. If this is your first time listening to the Lifelong Learners Collective, we're a podcast where we continue to learn something new every single day. I have Richard Blank with me today. He is the CEO of Costa Rica Call Centers, and he is going to talk to us about the lost art of talking on the phone and speech and the soft skills that we really maybe you've forgotten about, but we really need. So Richard, thank you for coming on the show.
So happy to be here with you and your audience. I love the work that you do. And I wrote you and said I want to be a guest on your show so I can pay it forward and share some ideas. But we'll definitely be able to give some tips and tricks in order for people to be much more effective communicators.
I am so excited for this. I'm actually here with my marker and my notepad taking notes because
we'll be quizzed.
This is something that I also want to learn. So Go ahead and tell us your story and how you came to be the CEO of Costa Rica Call Center.
Oh, my friend, it's a lot of twists and turns. It began back in Northeast Philadelphia. When I graduated the proud Abington High School back in 91, a lot of my friends were moving on to Ivy League to study medicine and law, architecture, engineering, or even go into a family business. Well, I had to get past my parents' guilt, and I wanted to double down on what I loved most, which were languages. And so I decided to be a Spanish major at the University of Arizona. I was a wildcat for 5 years. That was the best time of my life. Junior year, I spent abroad for the whole year, and I lived in Spain. I just wanted to make sure that I could have the foundation of the second language. I interned for Telemundo during college to get work experience, and post-grad, I worked for the importers of Corona beer. But when I was 27 years old, I was given a 1 in a million opportunity to move to the land of Pura Vida, and I know you love it here too.
Pura Vida, love Costa Rica. I cannot wait to come back.
And I can't wait to have you back and come visit the center. So imagine you're 27 years old, you walk off the plane, you're going to be working at your buddy's center for just a couple months to teach English. I realized this, I shed some skin that day and I wanted to do whatever it took in order to stay here because being an expat and living that sort of hero's journey and adventure I was looking for my entire life. And what more can you really explore and how much can you get past your parents' guilt in certain societal education, career, and lifestyle expectations. It's a lot of guilt there. A lot of pressure.
And, you know, sometimes when you tell people what you do for a living, it's kind of like, you know, whenever I was a graduate college, I had an amazing opportunity with an amazing company. And I was in retail selling phones. It was my first job right out of college. And I would tell people, great job. It got me to where I am today. What I did is they'd be like, you're selling phones. You're using your degree to sell phones? Like, what are you doing?
But it's the same sort of courage to walk across a dance floor and ask someone to dance. People are afraid of things that they wish that they could do. They'll tease it. They'll critique it. Not saying you have to do it as a career. Obviously, you're still not selling the phones. But look what that did in regards to your self-confidence reliance. An experience. You just weren't there pressing buttons and wasting time. You were engaging and doing undoubtedly some of the most challenging jobs that are out there. So kudos to you, my friend, for doing that as your first job.
Well, thank you. And something too is when you're talking about call centers, there's a lot of demand for bilingual over the phone. I don't put my personal business on the show, but I work for a company and our headquarters are in Costa Rica.
Yeah.
Because, well, we've got headquarters all over the place, but one of our offices are in Costa Rica because there's a need for Spanish. There's a need for people that speak Spanish and English. And everyone I meet in Costa Rica is bilingual. They know both languages and are able to help in both ways. So they have been able to successfully learn the English language. Yet, I think we as a country, not everybody, but we as a country, most Americans, from my observation, only speak one language. Why is it so much easier for them to learn our language than it is for us to learn theirs?
In my own personal experience, Spanish has the imperfect preterite and subjunctive tense, which makes it quite complicated. The future, conditional tense, and a bunch of tricky words that you need to, conjugate, which can, it's not the most easiest thing. But I like Spanish because it is a romantic language. It talks about desire and doubt. It's a lot more emotional and people can express themselves better. And, for me, it was really just about building on the vocabulary after the 6 months of a grammar base. But let's get back to that question you mentioned about the bilingual here. We have a 95% literacy rate. They don't have a standing army in Costa Rica, so they put their money back into education. Our proxemics to the United States means we have a lot of tourists, individuals like yourself that work here and have fun. Plus, we have a lot of expats that have retired here. Many Costa Ricans have lived in the United States. We claim we have the most neutral of English accents. But you're looking at hiring, because we do compete against El Salvador, Honduras, Nicaragua, Belize, and Guatemala, even Panama. And now their rates are a little bit more comfortable than Costa Rica. Why did we earn your business? Maybe because of our stable government, our infrastructure, our larger labor pool that we have. And so these are some of the advantages that give us that skill set. Is why, besides your amazing company, which we discussed, mm-hmm. Amazon, HP, Intel, and Oracle are here as well. And we all share those agents. And so we're Division One. We might be the most expensive, but we can offset that cheaper cost because of merit. And I think you've seen that multiple times while you're here.
Absolutely. And let's talk about some of the lost skills that we have with talking on the phone. I mean, I know on a personal level, I prefer texting over talking because it's shorter, sweeter, just right to the point.
Yes.
Versus talking on the phone. But there's just going to be times when it just makes more sense to have a phone call. So those of us who do not stay on the phone for a living, I mean, I do presentations on Zoom or whatnot, but those of us who are not on the phone as much, what are some of the soft skills we can learn to have effective and efficient phone conversations?
Oh, absolutely. You definitely need phone conversations, my friend, to retain a client. You might need to speak with someone when you want to upsell them. Come on, extra cheese on a burger? Seriously. And then also, what about the referrals that you can get if you can give such superior service? They'll recommend you. But how about this one, Ella? When you get the exit interview, if you happen to do something to where you lost the business to your competitor, or you could be making improvements, the greatest advice somebody that can give you are those sort of suggestions. Now, are they going to do that on an IVR, on omni-channel non-voice chat email support? They may, but I press zero when there's emotion involved or a sense of urgency, when you want to speak to an attorney, a doctor, maybe a ticketing agent. Why? Just to receive that empathy, to vent a little bit. And maybe because you might be on the fence about potentially leaving this company, that somebody, as I said, will retain your business and update your third-party information and just make sure things are right. And our best goal is a positive escalation. If they speak to a supervisor, they recommend you in writing or verbally. That's a wonderful compliment. But the soft skills that I think people are lacking is attentive listening. That's number one. Secondly, they could be doing a little more due diligence prior to writing an email, a voicemail, or just connecting with people through anchors and just seeing what they can do to reduce any sort of defense or any sort of quick hangups. Diplomacy is done through tone. So you should always have a confident and empathetic voice that should be consistent. You should be choosing certain vocabulary words through the thesaurus, which are better. I hate the word help. I prefer to use words like guide, assist, lend a hand. How about that one, Ella? Listen. What about that? Instead of saying, excuse me, why? Because your dog's barking, it's noisy in your background and your cell phone connection's bad? No, fall on that sword. You say, for my clarification, was it A, B, C, or 1, 2, 3? Use military alphabet so things don't bounce back. Don't assume. I mean, these are just the 101 simple wiffle ball things I'm giving you that will once again give you checkpoints, move things forward, rake to make sure you didn't leave a door open, asking open-ended questions, asking tie-down questions. Ella, makes sense, right? Sounds good, right?
Absolutely. Because if your open-ended questions are going to involve them more, put the client in the driver's seat.
Yes.
Of the conversation more so than, yeah, it's good. You know, how are things going?
Give them the best example. Yo, Ellie, do you like ice cream, or what kind of ice cream you like? There's a lot of times you'll stack the answers to me.
Like, who doesn't love ice cream?
Well, you automatically give me the yes by giving me the answer. So instead of saying, do you like ice cream? Yes. What kind of flavor? Yes. How many scoops? Yes. That's annoying. But if you ask that question, you might stack the answer, which saves so much time. And also, instead of lobster, it's steak. You could have wasted 20 minutes on something else. And so these are wonderful ways to allow you to lead the dance, be like a rudder to the ship. Still, where you could have the biggest ship in the world, that little rudder can move you. And so really, it's just about the flow, the dance of it, the turn taking, which should be appropriate. And so if you practice it like you and I have, and we find the thrill of the art of the speech, and we constantly look for colorful vocabulary, and it's a beautiful job. Time flies. Every call would be considered a painting, not a print. And so you feel alive. You're not plastic. And I think that's what people are hurting today. They really just do not decide to straighten their tie or iron their shirts when they speak. And so that's the only criticism that I would be having.
Something I will tell you is, if I'm going to call somebody, if I'm going to call a customer service place, I've exhausted all of their options. I've tried the chat. I've tried the cell. I'm the kind of person, I'm going to find a solution myself. Always try to find a workaround, or try to find a way to fix something or troubleshoot something myself. So if I'm calling customer care, it's generally going to be to talk about a problem, because I've exhausted all options. Yeah. What are some of the tips you would have for dealing with a, you know, what we call a Karen or an irate customer, somebody that's just already calling in, upset, huffing and puffing, like, I tried everything. I've waited for 5 minutes to talk to you guys. Oh my gosh. Like, how would you calm somebody like that down, bring the energy to you as far as being able to find the solution versus exacerbating the problem?
Of course, maturity and impulse control. I mean, I could receive all of this shrapnel that you're throwing at me. You want to F-bomb a couple times? Fine. Call me Robert. Do that too. I mean, would that make you happy? So what I try is to, you can't say put yourself in their shoes, but you allow somebody to vent. And probably about 60 to 80% of the time, even if they do use profanity, if it's not directly at me, but it's out loud, they get a certain pass. But most of the time, they'll apologize. They'll calm down. They'll say they're out of character, even though I've never met them before. So then I have the leverage, and I go, okay, Jimmy, now that you said your piece, let me work with you. But I'll let them know. I'll thank them immediately for bringing that to my attention. I understand your position. Doesn't mean I agree with it. I understand your position. And when you're finished, allow me a moment to do something about it. And so these are the sort of things, like in a canal when you separate the water, the dam. I mean, there are ways to stop that flow and that energy, or at least filter it and reduce it. And probably the greatest thing you could do is repeat something to somebody. Okay, allow me to work on it. So you said you've been on hold for 5 minutes. They charged the credit card unnecessarily, and you did not get your item. Is that correct, Ella? That is correct. Wonderful. Thank you. And so, you know, these are things. So the worst thing is when people start repeating it and they start going into that spider web. And so is it delicate? It can be. And you just don't give sincere or insincere answers. I hate when people say, I'm sorry. What are you sorry for? You didn't do it.
It was five guys before you. Time. Yes. I call people out on, or they'll be like, sorry. I'm like, what are you sorry about?
And I know where, and I know where you're coming from. You kind of don't, because you don't own a house. You don't have a mortgage. So stop that too. These are hedgings. And I hate hedging answers. The wonderfuls, oms, okays, greats, or understands and I'm sorrys. No, 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 no. Have these people literally be lucid in the moment and really know exactly what these people are saying. And a lot of the answers you're giving must be done in monotone, robotic, and just thanking them instead of saying greater, just to make sure. But you should be testing the reactions from the people. A lot of it has to do with timing. They're all huffy puffy in the beginning. There's a lot of crosstalk, interruptions, and just getting their thing in. And if you can see that daylight spacing between turn taking stuff, it's like the storm that's going away and rain that's not coming down as hard. And if you're going to be a boxer, you're going to get hit. And if you're going to be in certain situations where things are moving around you, like pilots do, they don't get target paralysis. They're still capable. And I think that if you're capable amongst everything that's going around you left and right, you can take out the noise and cut the fat. Wait your turn to interject, anchor, put the bet, and move forward. It's what people do. Do you punch? No, because it's damage and damage. Do you block? It's less damage, but still damage. Ella, you sway. You sway. Why? I can exhaust you and I don't get hit. And I don't hit. And so this is possibly some of the greatest ways to preserve your energy, your balance, your emotional energy. And letting them gas themselves out. Gas themselves out. And then collectively you can just walk over and just start picking up the pieces and separating those piles. So to answer your question, my friend, in a roundabout way, if they come at me guns a-blazing, that's great. The louder, the better. Why? Because when I resolve that issue, they're going to be talking about me the most and recommending me to the most of their people. Because you ever see those things when people can tame the lion? It's the most amazing relationship in the world. And so if everyone's afraid to go to that animal or that individual or that energy, but you're capable of doing it. You're capable of having the snake go with you and won't bite you.
But she's thinking snake charmers.
Snake charmers, or that guy in Costa Rica that would swim with the crocodile, or... Isn't it amazing when you see those beautiful relationships with these men and women that are with lions and tigers and bears? Oh my. So why can't we play with the bear? That was, I think, one of the most amazing soldiers they had in the Polish army back in the day. He used to drink smoke and bring bombs to the people. And so don't be intimidated. It's like the pretty girl in class that never gets asked on a date. I mean, these are normal individuals, and don't put them on a certain pedestal, or don't be afraid of anybody. You treat someone like a normal human being, and don't be surprised if you don't become a prince. That's how it works.
You have the most incredible analogies.
Watch a lot of TV.
You just have the most incredible. I just keep hearing them, and it's like, I want to be like this. I want to be talking about comparing phone conversations to being the snake charmer, the lion tamer. That,
my dear friend, you just said it yourself. Ella, we're on the phone. Our taste, touch, and smell's taken away. Besides the hearing, what are you going to do visually? Description, adjectives. Yeah, imagination.
That's phenomenal. That is like the most just interesting way of putting things. You say, hey, when you're going to find a prince, or, you know, sometimes it's the most attractive people who have a hard time getting dates.
Yeah, do I keep your attention? Imagine if we're on a phone call and I'm trying to qualify you. You got to be Robin Williams in the moment. What do you see? You have 50 things to choose from. What do you see? Mm-hmm. Share it with Ella. Share it with the audience. And maybe you anchor on those things.
Mm-hmm. And talk about your experience. So, you know, people would bring their phones to me. They'll be like, oh, this froze up. Or they'll show it to me. And it's like, I can see that. But if I were trying to solve a problem over that, I'd be like, okay, walk me through what's going on. Then have them tell me the story. And then repeat it.
Say, I know it's ruining your day. And they're like, I know. I know. If you can put a little humor in it, that's the magic dust to get everybody to calm down and relax. That's number one. Yeah.
Laughter is the universal language. In fact, I'm going to take a page from your book and tell a story. This happened around Easter, so that's why I'm thinking of it right now.
Yeah.
Is we had a family that we sponsored from Croatia when I was growing up. And, you know, they didn't speak any English. They spoke Croatian, and then we spoke English, but we had them over for Easter dinner. And we were eating at the table, and one of my brothers picks up corn on the cob and starts eating it. They're laughing hysterically. They've never seen anybody eat corn on the cob before. So the father, he was missing a front tooth. He picks up, starts eating the corn on the cob, and he left a row of corn as he ate it.
Oh, man.
So that was my first experience. It's like, if you can laugh together, there's already a relationship going, even if you don't speak the same language.
Damn, Ella, do you remember the movie Harlem Nights when Richard Pryor told that one guy to go home and brush his tooth? He was missing all his teeth. Anyway, great movie. Oh, that's so funny. It was a row. That's classic. I mean, that could be in a movie.
The corn.
Oh, that's so cool.
Really close friends with us today.
I'm sure. Oh, absolutely. Tell me another story. That was good. I like your missing tooth story.
Missing tooth story. Well, relating to teeth, I always do True Truths and a Lie. One of them's being related to Paris Hilton. Where I've traveled to. But one of the truths that people think is a lie is that I chipped my right front tooth catching a bridal bouquet. And, you know, when you're single and you're at the weddings, everybody's expecting you to catch the bridal bouquet. It's like, everybody gather around. You got to catch this. Well, I'm kind of usually front and center, and I like to be competitive sometimes. I just like to look what I can do, look what I can achieve. Well, here comes the bridal bouquet. There's three of us. This bridal bouquet had a rose quartz tied to it. I didn't see the rose quartz. So that is how the rose quartz landed where my tooth was. That is how a bridal bouquet chipped my tooth.
Were there pictures at the wedding afterwards? You like doing this, like Bobby Clark and the Flyers?
It was a small chip. It wasn't a major chip, but it was a chip nonetheless. And I spent $400 just filling that thing in. They had it bonded and everything, but it was for a couple.
I think that's good luck in some countries, right?
countries? I need to find that.
Oh, Croatia? I don't know. That's your friend who eats the corn, Mr. Tooth.
Well, yeah. Rose quartz, which is like the love rock. I don't know.
I just still think that's a cool story, though. It just adds character.
Mm-hmm. I think that's why I like the icebreaker when people have to say something like, what about you is unique? Well, that's a hard question to answer because it's like, is it unique to this person, unique to that person? Or I love the game, the icebreaker, two truths and a lie, so everybody can guess. Now I can't really use that anymore because everybody's going to be like, oh, we know what the truth is. But I do like to use that quite a bit in the two truths and a lie. And they're like, wait, I don't see. And I was like, look, Hallmark Dental, he knows what he's doing. If you ever run into my situation, go see him. They should pay me in commission by now.
It's funny that you're mentioning that. Costa Rica is known for medical tourism as well. So in case that happens again, get it fixed down here for half the price.
I have a lot of friends who go to Costa Rica when they need something medical done.
That's right. Because porcelain crowns are next to nothing. Of course, hip replacements and other sort of plastic surgeries and laser eye. Oh, yeah. And most of these doctors were educated in the United States. SEMA Hospital is amazing. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Well, Costa Rica also, they say it's the happiest country on earth. And my theory is, well, two of my favorite things come from Costa Rica, coffee and chocolate and monkeys. I love monkeys. I like cats too. Right now, I'm a cat lady, but monkeys are my spirit animal because they just do whatever they want. They swing from vine to vine. They're acrobatic. They like to climb on things. They like to dance, whatever. But the coffee and the chocolate thing, but there are many other reasons why Costa Rica is one of the happiest countries on this earth. What are some of your reasons why you think?
didn't they say there's green zones or something that they talk about? And Nicoya is one of those places where people live the longest and they're the happiest. Let me just give you my example. The weather's perfect. I grew up in Philadelphia, so every wintertime I love seeing the KYW News radio, see if they're canceling school that day. Doesn't matter for me. But the lifestyle, it's ecotourism. And when you go to the farmer's market on Saturdays, you can really stock your fridge for next to nothing and be very healthy. Physiologically, you'll feel good.
The fruit is so fresh.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. If you want that lifestyle, you can afford it. And as I mentioned before, you can detox and your skin feels better. Your body feels better. You'll get in better shape. I mean, just by being around and outside. And the culture here is, it's a very united culture. It's a very proud culture. We mentioned Pura Vida, which means pure life. They're really into nature. So, I mean, with all the national parks that you visited and the monkeys that are hanging around, the sloths and iguanas and butterflies, it's like being in a painting. And so maybe when you decompress, my friend, and you put the phone away and you sit under that palm tree next to a waterfall out in the rainforest and no one's around you, maybe that's the sort of thing that can recharge your batteries and get you in a healthier state of mind. The shame that I see is when people bring that mental baggage with them and hoping that that will erase it when they come here. But no, they need to separate the two. Or when people are here, they go maybe a little above and beyond in regards to adventure. They might party a little too hard or walk off the paths that are designated for them and might get in trouble. And this is paradise, but it can be dangerous. And so you once again have to be very safe and secure when you're exploring.
I tell people all the time, it's like, aren't you worried about going to Mexico, Costa Rica? I'm like, it's just as safe as Nashville. You just got to know where to be. I mean, it's probably safer for me to walk around in Mexico with some friends and a group than it is to walk around on Broadway these days. But
I've seen this. If you're standing on a corner, licking your thumb, counting $100 bills in Boys Town, you're going to get beat up. And if you're looking for trouble, it's going to find you. And there are certain extracurricular activities here, social activities, which are legal. And so when people come down here to look for those sort of parties, they can once again find themselves in certain sort of uncompromising positions. And so it really all depends on the person. But if you're here to go to national parks and museums and explore the healthy Klein and Feenway, you'll have a wonderful experience here and come back safer than you when you came.
I've got one of the most amazing days of 2023 for me. And I went there for work, but I had a couple extra days to myself. And I bonded with my coworkers. We went zip lining.
Ooh.
For the moment, decided to go zip lining. I'm afraid of heights. I just try to conquer them all the time. And did that zip line. We came back laughing on adrenaline and just, it was like family. And I got Christmas cards from everybody that I went ziplining with and a Christmas activity book. It was amazing. But I remember we were drinking non-alcoholic spearmint lemonade.
Okay.
And I don't drink much. Like I talk about this on the show. I'm not a big alcohol drinker. We're drinking spearmint lemonade. We were sitting by the pool under a full moon, just bonding and laughing together and cheersing. And I'm like, this is the most fun I've had in a long time. And it was just because the people I was with, we were all staying healthy. We got plenty of vitamin D that day and we were looking for adventure. The next day I went surfing because if you're going to learn how to surf, you got to learn in the surfing capital of the world.
Oh yeah.
And they were just so, it was a husband and wife that owns the business that taught me. Everyone was so welcoming, put me in sunscreen. They made me feel like I was a surfer that day. And I learned how to stand up on the ocean, but just like the fact that they treated me, they didn't say, oh, this is a girl that's just learning how to surf for the first time. This is an American. I was one of them. I was in that group. I got to hang out with them, take photos, talk about my experience. Like everyone was so welcoming. And it also helps. I'm all about, you know, I'm not a health nut by any stretch of the imagination, but I definitely do try to eat foods that nourish me.
Mm-hmm.
The chance. So it's just a big.
Which beach did you surf at?
Waco.
Which one?
Waco. Is that how
you? Oh, and Hako.
Hako. I knew that. How did I forget? Yes.
It's okay. Hako, which is right next to Hermosa. It's one of the closer beaches.
Mm-hmm.
If you go further south next time, Dominical is a very good surfing beach. A little further than that, you have Playa Ballena and Uvita, where in August and September, it's where the whales go, and it's like the whales beach. But mm-hmm. on the Guanacaste side, if you can get to Malpais, that's the best surfing in the country.
Good to know.
If you like a bohemian, cool environment where everyone's just like tan and having fun, that's it. That's definitely a destination for it. Mm-hmm.
You should start a business that is basically Costa Rica tours, that has people talk on the phone and helps them, like a concierge planning mm-hmm. trip to Costa Rica.
We definitely make suggestions for people. I also would recommend going to Tabacón Resort by Lake Arenal and just enjoying those hot springs up in there in the garden.
Nice. I've never been to that spring.
Oh, I got so many things to recommend to you, and you'll have the best time. Mm-hmm.
I also recommend the Costa Rica airport that I flew out of is the only airport that gives you free chocolate and coffee.
Mm-hmm.
When I fly out of Nashville, I'm ready to pay $20 for coffee and a snack.
The coffee, you say, I don't put any milk or sugar in it. I drink it black. Yeah. It is so good. Mm-hmm. So good.
That's what I got everybody too. I got coffee, chocolate, and then I also got some rocks that are found in Costa Rica, some natural rocks that you can't find in the U.S. I'll, you know, use them as paperweights. They just have a lot of properties to them that was near the ocean. I mean,
how nice.
My thing, yeah. And then magnets. And the magnets had butterflies and monkeys on them. And I've got a necklace. One of my coworkers bought everybody in our group necklaces with monkeys on them.
And it's good luck, isn't it?
I think so. And it's a friendship necklace. It just reminds me, like, you know, I hang out with these people in person for a little over a week and just made just amazing connections with them and just had that experience. We built houses for a few days, and then we also got to face our fears together by hanging thousands of feet in the air upside down, going down a zip line.
You know, it's interesting. I always feel like Costa Rica is like going back in time, like in the 50s and 60s. For an example, I was in a little community party last night in Escazú up in the mountains, and you know, you got thousands of people that are sitting at these tables and eating together, and you know, I'm with my wife, and just the family's like, hey, come sit with us. We're like, okay, great. And we just sat down and everyone introduced themselves to one another, and it was just very classy, educated, comfortable, and just strangers or friends you haven't met yet. So maybe if people can just take an extra second to stand and open a door for someone, or just to say, what is your name? My name is Richard. Nice to meet you. And these are the little first downs for touchdowns that can pay it forward in small ways.
First downs and touchdowns. And speaking of which, I super appreciate you being on the show, sharing us tips and tricks on how to be better on the phone, and also for traveling to Costa Rica. But these are skills that I think are so invaluable that you're always going to want to have. I love tech. I love all things. I love using AI, but it's not going to replace soft people skills. And what we're talking about, from the Costa Rica's call center to just exploring Costa Rica, is talking about making those connections with people when they first become strangers, and, you know, when they first break in some barriers and connecting to other people.
Of course. I mean, maybe learn to smile first.
Exactly.
So serious. You might be there, but your mind is elsewhere. And when someone smiles, another person smiles, then you connect with the smile and you're like, what's up?
Hi. Like,
what's up with you? And you're like, not much. And next thing you know, you're buddies. And there you go. And the group just keeps getting bigger. So you just try to send out those happy smile vibes and see what comes back.
Smile vibes. People can hear a smile over the phone. They're going to hear our smiles when they listen to the show.
My favorite thing on the phone is doing a company name spike. So before anything of nothing, I'm going to say the name of your company better than you do. Lifelong Learners Collective, how are you today? That's not before Richard Blank or my company or my speak to Ella. I'm going to say that to you to knock your gatekeeper out of their trance. So instead of saying, we're good, thanks, or who's this, or what are you selling? They're going to go, who's this? I go, gotcha. Listen to that response. Nice, who's this? I go, I'm so glad that you asked. My name is Richard Blank. Who's Richard Blank? Good, I doubled down on it. Got the double. I'm so glad you asked my company name. It's Costa Rica's Call Center. And then you just play your chances. So what happens within that first 30 seconds? Company name spike. We call these two buffer boomerang techniques, three adjustments of tone when you ask me a question. I'll name drop you, let you know it's a great question. Repeat the question and send it back positive. And before being transferred to the decision maker getting the pass to pitch, I will let you know how amazing you are verbally. I'll do it in writing. So when I happen to call your company back, there's the Richard circle. And so that's how you build a pipeline. That's how you make nice. And that's how you tame those lions. So you get to play with them. And at the end of the day, when someone has to make a decision and they're speaking to that decision or the gatekeeper, realize this, half the time it's a family member or the most trusted confidant. You might be more expensive. Your contractual terms are a little different than offshore. Look at the way you treated them prior to a contract and complimented everybody. And you even talked about Billy in the mailroom. How'd you get transferred to him? It doesn't matter. I spoke to him and he's a great person. Love that guy. You're like, really? And so that's how I've built a business. I do it through nice and it seems to work.
And being able to understand people. And also just note to self, I'm going to need for you to record my intro.
Yeah.
Lifelong Learners Collective better than I do. And I'm like, what?
I told you. But what happens then, my friend? That's like you selling the phones. Well, you play your metrics. They're probably going to be better than average. But instead of grinding out for that 10-minute phone call, wishing and hoping, I'd rather have, you know, 150, 30 second perfect intros and stop giving me a 10 minute call. No, Ella, it's 20, 30 second calls. These are checkpoints in your calls. So I've made it more of a game. And when people start doing those sort of things, there's a lot more structure to it. Their numbers get much better.
Phenomenal. Well, thank you, Richard, for being on the show. Tell us before we go how people can keep up with you and follow you. And learn
just
more
like
from
you. They gotta buy a plane ticket and fly to Costa Rica so they can come and visit me. Plus, I also collect pinball machines and jukeboxes, so you get to come play classic pinball and hang out
That's
at the center.
Fun. I love a jukebox.
Now, I grew up in the 70s and 80s, man. I love this. This is a beautiful 1961 Ricola Regis. So these machines have electromagnetic energy, almost like Stephen King's book, Christine. And so you don't think that something from the 60s where 1,000 people danced and fell in love in front of it has energy? I do. And so
it has energy.
Of course. And so, you know, for me, it's like I'm their guest. I just want to make sure I can restore them and hope sure they're doing well. But I have a very large Facebook fan page of about 130,000 local Costa Rican Ticos. And so when this goes live, you'll have more fans and it'll give your audience a chance to see the pulse of the business process outsourcing industry in Costa Rica. You know, we are north of Panama and south of Nicaragua. We're not on an island. And there are a lot of direct flights that are down here. And right now we're on Mountain Time Zone. So we're easy Stevie. But Ella, I can't thank you enough. Our communication prior to this was awesome. Our emails back and forth. So excited to get on this today. And
I'm so excited to have you.
Yeah. And your audience does know how much you love this show and the sort of person you are. You shine. And so I'm very happy to be here and to have contributed. And thank you again, Ella. Really enjoyed myself.
Well, thank you, Richard.
Thank you so much for being a part of the Lifelong Learners Collective. Your listenership means so much to me. To further support this independent podcast, I hope you share this show with others and leave a review to help expand the reach among those who yearn to evolve, expand their mind, and be a game changer. Above all else, I hope you are inspired on the show and continue to learn something new each and every day.